Those of you who know me know that I can't possibly be held down by a standing mic because I have to walk my 37 miles whenever I am doing anything. And hi, Chris. And I just, you know, feel the need of the freedom for a bit of string on the end of this thing. I'm really happy to be with you this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And I know lots of you already. And I just have to say that it's kind of neat when I go around the country because Sunday I was up in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And those of you who know Sheboygan know that they haven't gotten rid of winter up there yet. And we had it all over again this weekend, had a 6-inch blizzard while I was up there. And at the biggest church in Sheboygan now, which is St. Paul's, has passed the Mother Church Trinity. The assistant pastor is Dale Bond. And he said, you probably don't remember this, but back in 1974... I was in your weekend clinic, and from there on we spent a good many hours talking about evangelism and where he's at and what kinds of things are happening. This morning I got a call from Bristol, Connecticut, where the pastor is Bill Thompson, and I'm going out there in spring to do a PTR kind of thing. And Bill said, I don't think you'll remember me, but in 1973 I was in one of your clinics out at Concordia Kirkwood, and I guess what really is coming to bear now is the fact that there are about 1,500 preachers out there who have gone through my horrifying weekend, and they're still all living. While it may be tough, you know, nobody really has died from it yet. So those of you who may be coming this weekend, by the way, we have to break in and really ask for your prayers, because God's blessings have become so abundant that we don't know how to handle them. And when God gives you more than you can handle, that's a stewardship conundrum that I really haven't learned how to handle yet. In October, we had 36 of you in a clinic at Salem and Blackjack, and that was about average kind of stuff. And then in January, out at St. Mark's Eureka, we had 70-some of you. And we said, my goodness, 36 and 70, that's 106, that'll take care of it for this year. We'll probably have about 15 guys at Ascension, and this will be no sweat. Herb Minch can put it together and handle it. So when Elle and Lou, my good buddies here who are teaching the courses in evangelism, Drs. Brighton and Matthias, called me, and there are 65 in the class, I almost died. And when you add 65 to 70-some and 36, all you want to say is, praise the Lord, you know. So we just are so grateful, but it does bring a problem to us because we are having difficulty resurrecting 33 trained lay people for the clinic. So whether you're coming or not, or those of you who have been there already know how important this is, please, please, please put it on your prayer list so that God can raise up enough people for Saturday to take all the clinicians out on calls, because that's where it's all at. I'm very unimportant, really don't matter at all, but the lay people do. And the training, or just even the experience which you can have with them, is die Hauptsache. And so we need really to have you to pray that we can have the lay people on hand. I'd like to share with you, and I'm really happy to be here, and Bob and I had talked about this some time ago, but I'd like to share with you just some things that are developing in terms of the witness bag. And I'm talking more and more about our need to be mightily concerned about those people in our parish who will never, ever get in a formalized, weekly, calling type of program, which I've described to those of you who have been with me as Track 2 Evangelism. We have got to help the 90% do a better job of their witnessing. And I want to share with you some of the things that when you get in your parishes shortly, either as vicar or as pastor or as dreamer, at least you'll know about these things that hopefully will be coming to you in the parish, the resources for parish. Now, there are different kinds of resource, and one of the kinds of resource is the printed page. And you might guess that I'm not too much for that stuff because I find that most preachers don't read it. I find all kinds of resource material stuck in the bottom of everything. However, it's necessary to have around, and I'd like you to feel free when we are finished to come up here and pick up, and it's only for those of you who would like it, that's why I'm not passing it around, but just pick up a four-page presentation of things that are available mostly through the Synodical Office or through CPH for the work of evangelism in the local parish. So that when you want to start a bus ministry out in your rural area, you know how to do that. Or if you want to do something with the kids in your Sunday school, or you want to do something with the youth in your parish, there are things that are available from our storehouse, as well as those that are available from a lot of other places that you probably will become very well acquainted with. I like to think of resources, however, from another point of view and another potential, and that's the people resource kind of thing. I'm a people person, and I think evangelism is a people ministry and a people discipline, and I think that's where we have to go, and it's where I come from. And so to me, the biggest resource for parishes in their evangelism program, I think, are people resources. And that's what I'd like to share with you for the rest of the time, and then we'll throw it open for questions and finish whenever we're finished, but at least by the time it's time to quit. I think the first person that I want to address your attention to when you get into your parish is your district evangelism exec, if there be such a person, like the Paul Fausts, whom you've all heard of, like the Norm Sensabaugh's, like the Ozzy Wechs, like the Vic Albers, you know, and they are across the country. And they are schooled, they are able, they are equipped to assist the local parish parson in his evangelism ministry and discipline. My son, who graduated from here a couple years ago, is in Bedford, Indiana, and he makes use, at Dad's suggestion, maybe, of the district kinds of people who are there to serve, who will come in to help you conduct workshops, who will come in to speak if you would like that, who will come in to do some teaching, who will come in to sit with their knees under your table. And I guess the 10 years of ministry that I enjoyed in the Missouri District as Director of Stewardship and Evangelism produced for me all kinds of opportunities to sit with the preachers. There are a lot of preachers who are hurting out there. And when some guy comes in and is willing to listen and willing to answer some questions and just willing to do some affirming, this is really helpful, I believe, to the parish parson. And so I lay upon you the suggestion to make use of those resource-type people. First, get on the phone and call them and invite them to come in and just enjoy. And I think by the grace of God, they will fill your cup. At least they will endeavor to do that. The ministry is not an isolationistic kind of profession, but we need each other, and we are family, we are the body, and the more body kind of ministries we can exercise, I believe the better it will be for you. Now, one step farther down the line is my job, because my job is to work with the district fellows to try to be of help to them, so that their cup can be filled and that they can be ready more and more to have smorgasbords of opportunities to talk with you when you call them in. And my cup is filled by the corporate filling of 38 district people, all of whom share and care, and then I in turn seek to spill over so that I can be a kind of enabler or a kind of facilitator, a kind of channel through which things can come from, well, let's say Marty Lundy out in Northwest, who is doing a fabulous thing in certain areas of evangelism out there, and Carl Schmidt, who is doing the same kinds of great things down in the Southeastern District, can share with me, and we can sift these things together, and out can come some things for Norm Sensabaugh up in Fargo, North Dakota, or Norm Grotolution down in the Midwest, Mid-South. So these are the ways my job fits in, then, to these prime resource persons to you. And in order to help the 90%, we are developing a number of things, and those are the things that I want to share with you. And again, you'll have to forgive me because I don't ordinarily refer to any notes at all, but I have dates that I want just to share with you simply as a kind of historical dateline of things that we are seeking to present to congregations around the country. Now, this won't all be available to your state where you're being sent. But hopefully, ultimately, there will be a smorgasbord of stuff so that wherever you are, these kinds of things will be in the works. And so I'm going to run down a few things from my upcoming agenda and schedule, which are rather significant, I think, in terms of hopefully helping people, and which basically are individual in that we won't be doing these kinds of things anywhere else. And we have a list of 10, 12 things that I hope will be assistant to helping the 90%. And the first one, we're going to conduct April 23 to 25 in the Central Illinois District, and we're calling this, of all things, a convocation for conservation. The first time any one of these kinds of things have ever been held, because more and more in the church, we're being burdened with the need to do something about our backdoor losses in a way that is helpful and constructive. This 90% that we're talking about today basically are the group from which the backdoor losses ultimately come. They're the people, and those of you who have had me know that I refuse to use the word delinquent, these are the people of the low commitment base. And there are a lot of reasons for their low commitment. And one of the reasons, we are convinced, is that they have never been involved in an active living out, either by demonstration or proclamation, of their faith. And so we're going to meet for 3 days in a, what do you call this, where you got to go, a conference where everybody's got to go. Yeah, that kind of thing, mandatory. It's not by choice. They're going to send all their preachers. And Dr. Brighton is going to be there and do an exegetical study on church membership, discipline, just all kinds of things that have to do with relationships within the body. Dark Harston is going to be there to share with them a lot of things that he has worked out in terms of eldering within the parish. And I will be there sort of to piddly-dink around. And we're just going to try to lay out some positive things so that pastors can go back to their parishes and put their finger in the dike before the delinquency develops. We think some things really have to be done, and I was here a few months ago when John DeVries talked about small group Bible studies, his little church program and so forth, but all kinds of things have to be happening within the church to work among this 90% to preclude some of the things that are developing. Now, we look upon this as a pilot, and hopefully, if it develops at all, we will be able, within the next year or so, to present to the church, and it may happen in your district then, some kind of organized effort or workshop experience to help you and your parishes deal with backdoor losses. We are getting down at our office, my guess would be, several times a week. The latest was yesterday. Several times a week, a request from people, from pastors, to help them with their elders' work. How do you train elders? What do elders do? Who are they? How do you get them? Our elders, you know, have fallen into disrepute in many places, and they have just degenerated into a group which calls on the phone and says, we've been missing you on church, you haven't picked up your envelopes yet, and you haven't been to communion for 8 months. When are you going to show? And it really doesn't do the job, we don't think. And so pastors are crying for this kind of help. And we see potentially that also as a spin-off of this number one thing that I'm sharing with you. Number two, as a resource for the parish, also in April, 29 to 4, and then from 6 to 9, I will be in Monette, Missouri and Bristol, Connecticut, doing an old-fashioned preaching, teaching, reaching mission. And I lay that upon you because I really believe, fellas, that we are in a day when this kind of exposure merits attention again. And I can give you a little look down the pike into 1980 and 1981 when the Synod, under the Evangelism Board, will be endeavoring to sponsor, to suggest, to encourage the recurrence of the old-fashioned PTR or its modern counterpart. There are a lot of congregations in the Synod now who on their own have a yearly week of mission, sharing the love of Jesus week, or a Lutheran open house, or whatever, where they do the old-fashioned thing of exposing the evangelistic fervor of the 1950s. And it may sound rather fundamentalistic to you, but it has been working for parishes. And where this kind of activity develops, there is what I call an AA, an evangelistic attitudinal adjustment developing, where congregations get to feel evangelistic in nature and begin to recognize a little bit more the call of the Great Commission to be evangelistic. Now, the 90% can be involved in this kind of one-week exposure and involvement where you will never get them involved in a 16-week training course. But God knows what He can do with them when He gets them there under the power of the gospel. Some real exciting things have developed. There are and will be more materials available for parishes to be able to siphon off experience and helps from people who have already done this in effecting their own local or a circuit or a district PTR. And I still call it that because I'm that old-fashioned. In the 1950s, they called them PTRs. There are whole districts having them now, Nebraska to wit, in October, when all of the congregations in the state will be encouraged to participate in a preaching, teaching, reaching mission. They have a special name for it. It escapes me at this moment. May 10, I will be in New Jersey, Newark, meeting with the evangelism people of that district, and there's that key again. There's the district man. We will be working on an agenda or a curriculum for a New Jersey school of evangelism. And I haven't heard anybody come up with that idea yet. But the concept is that the evangelism people of New Jersey will be sitting down with me for a day or so and will be trying to put together a curriculum from which congregations at the school, which will be held then the last weekend in August, will be able to come with pastor and X number of lay people and have presented to them an entire smorgasbord of evangelistic concepts so that they can learn about what evangelism is, so that they can learn some methodology, so that they can have some practical experience and or whatever. And we're very interested in this development because we believe here is another real opportunity for that 90%. And I don't want to keep repeating who they are, but that big bunch will be the last time I'll say that. That big bunch who won't get into the ongoing in-depth kind of week-to-week presentation evangelism. We think the school of evangelism will be broad enough in scope and presentation to allow for lots of things to happen in individual parishes. Immediately from there, I will be going of all places to Long Island. And there with Vic Albers, I will be spending several days with a lot of teachers and pastors endeavoring to cut open the peel of New York City and surroundings in terms of an evangelistic approach or presentation, so that the congregations of the metropolitan area will again have an opportunity to plug in both on track one and on track two levels. And I have been warned by Vic that they have set aside about three opportunities in summer and in fall for some things to happen in New York when they hope that I will come there and fill their bill. I guess what I'm trying to say to you fellows is that what I see happening and developing in my job is that these district people about whom I spoke at the beginning are beginning to touch me and are beginning to say, y'all come up and we want to sit down and we want to talk about some things because we see these as being the needs of the people in our district or in our area. Help us. Sit down with us, and together we will work out some things that we think will be of help to this area, and that will be of help also and specifically to the 90% group. So we see that happening also in New York City. May 18 to 20, we're going to be here in St. Louis at St. Mark's Eureka for a pilot witness workshop, which is something that we have not done before, but which we are hoping to develop in such a way that districts will be able to plug into this, get excited about the concept, invite me or somebody else to their district or region to train others within their district, who then will be able to train all kinds of people for you in your parish, in your district. Again, this particular workshop, and notice the name of it, Witness Workshop, is specifically geared to those who need to learn how to witness better and who will not be able to do anything much more than that. And I'm not even sure we gotta really do much more than that, most of us. As a matter of fact, as a little aside, I'd like to say that if we somehow or other, by the grace of God, could learn really to witness to our faith in the Lord Jesus, we probably wouldn't need many evangelism programs. But we're not witnessing. And we are developing now a series of things to try to help people see some of the things that are involved in witness, like testifying, like listening and responding, like giving testimony to what has happened by God's grace in our life when He has taken over. Praying, just all kinds of simple little things which can help people build up an attitude for witness in a common, spontaneous, natural kind of way as opportunity develops. So we're really excited about this three-day affair. As a matter of fact, we are bringing in six people from around the country who will be part of this witness workshop at St. Mark's, who will pilot the manual with me, and who then will go back to, they're coming from Florida and Oregon and New Jersey and Illinois, Chicago, all around the country. And we're hoping that for you, again, will be developed a resource so that you're not just sticking out there with a piece of paper and asking, hey, what goes on here and what gives next? I won't give you all these dates because they're not all that important, but I'll just give you one, August 27 to 30 as a sample, where I will be going around the country five different times this summer doing four-day dialogue evangelism clinics, which is my Lutheranized version of the Kennedy bit, a specific method of training and teaching people either who are gifted with the gift of evangelism, Ephesians 4:11, or who can be taught to exercise the role. St. Paul said in writing to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. And there are people in parishes who may never ever exercise or never ever be blessed with the gift, who can learn to do the job of an evangelist. Those are the 10%, and we're not talking about them basically, and yet we feel that this is a resource for parishes which needs really to be shared with you. In the last 2 days, I have called, I've talked to two pastors whose churches have become really quite excited evangelistically. In the one instance, nothing really happened for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, if anything developed, it was a deteriorating of the community and the neighborhood. And then a man came in to assist the pastor as a part-time retired assistant who had a real zeal for evangelism. He came to one of our clinics. He started doing track one and track two evangelism. And last year, this parish, and this is, you know, real no mark of real, success mark, I guess, but this parish confirmed more adults in our district than any other parish save one. And before, nothing had happened. But there was a turnaround. AA happened. Attitudinal adjustment developed. And it involved a lot of the people in the 90 percentile area. Then another parish developed this situation. The pastor talked to me just this morning at 11 o'clock and said, Bees, you know, I'm not really for this ongoing kind of stuff week after week, but I got to tell you something. All of a sudden, we are really getting more evangelism going than you can imagine. And what he failed to recognize, I think, at least in part, is that his assistant, who is no longer with him, for 3 years had put a lot of eggs into an evangelism basket and had trained a lot of people and had really done a lot of plowing and a lot of stirring. And now comes the time of the harvest, because sometimes it really takes that long. And you just have to be out there sowing the seed, and if the circle of evangelism is to be completed, it's really going to take some time. And from that 90% bunch, there will be people who can be siphoned off also into the track one evangelism. But the resources that are there, I think, are also very, very important for that 10% item. The last weekend in August and the first days in September, including over Labor Day, I will be with another parish here in town, Salem Blackjack, and Floyd Stolzenberg, who is the pastor there, is a great retreat kind of guy, and I will be with his parish from Friday night through Labor Day in a retreat setting out by the Quiver River or somewhere out there, where they do all of their own cooking and all that stuff. But we will be doing a lot of in-house sharing with each other, communicating the gospel. And the resource that I want to lay upon you for the 90% is simply that these kinds of opportunities are the kinds which a local parish, depending on the setting, may find interesting. There are people, believe it or not, who will go camping for a weekend. And if you have a weekend kind of retreat experience, and you have the yen for that, your district person, again, back to the beginning, may just be the one who could come in and help you, or do this for you, or from whom you could get some resource to do this kind of thing. And we hope here, likewise to develop something for use by congregations so that they have an additional resource. Well, we're now into September. You can see that although I've been in the job 5 weeks already, the year is getting pretty well filled up, and I'm only giving you different samplings of the way it is. The last weekend in September and the first in October, I'm going up to Canada, to Ontario, and there we'll be doing some training for some of the 90 percentile type persons so that they can do a little bit of inviting type of evangelism. Not presentation for persuasion, but just the kind of thing that can invite people to come, of all things, to an open house or another PTR. And this is another switch to this entire, or another avenue, another approach to the sharing open house week kind of thing, where we will be doing a mass presentation for an entire district as they will bring people together on a Saturday, and we will try by the grace of God to motivate them, and Friday night likewise, and motivate them and inspire them, but also inform them about how they can actually go out and do this kind of thing. The reason I share that one with you is that I'm absolutely convinced that if we are going to shock the troops, and I don't mean anything by that other than the electric kind of shock which brings them back to life, we're going to have to do some involving at the level of their own capacity. And so the kinds of things that I'm sharing with you are of broad and diverse nature. Because one of the things you're going to discover is that not everything appeals to everybody. And what we've got to do is get out of the attitude, I think, therefore, which is a known sequitur, but which we fall into many times, therefore, I won't do anything and I will satisfy most everybody. And that really isn't the answer in the church or the answer for evangelism. You have to have so many kinds of things going so that people, so that you as a parish parson, in concert with your particular parish needs, can pick off the table that which is going to work in your area. I was in a rather large church in our district 2 nights ago talking about evangelism with them. We don't have anybody in my job yet in the district, so I get invited yet to our local congregations. And I pointed out to them that although they have close to 800 communicants, they better take a good look at the four rights, R-I-G-H-T-S, of church growth, and ask themselves these questions. Is this the right time for, let's call it Emmanuel, which it wasn't? Is this the right place? Are we dealing with the right people? And are we operating with the right methods? And when you use those four concepts and apply them to what you are doing at your church, you will have to determine which one of those things on the smorgasbord table is going to be best fitting for you now. And that might not work in 2 years from now. Maybe you've already missed the boat, and the time to do a street house-to-house canvas type of thing is past. Back in 1950, when it was my privilege to start Christ the King Lutheran Church in Southgate, Michigan, I learned from my district man that every area, geographically, has only such a length of time to be made. And after that, you've missed the boat. Because others will have come in, people will have become seated in various kinds of activities and churches, and the basic thrust has only so much time to make it. Now, of course, some of that has changed because in America, 1 out of 5 people are moving every year, and we know those kinds of things too. But area becomes established, and you have to determine where in the timeline of history are we now and what will work best. Is it the right place? I'm from Detroit, 21 years, And those of you who are know about Hamtramck. It would not be good to start a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod mission in Hamtramck. That's not the right place. And that's the kind of thing you have to determine. Hamtramck is a solid Polish community with its own government and lines of demarcation, and this is not racial, this is saying we wouldn't have a successful German Lutheran Church Missouri Synod mission in Hamtramck. Let's face it. So we talk about the right place and apply it to what's going on in our own mission and ministry. Well, one little thing for your youth, because you're going to have some. And somehow or other, I feel for you young guys going out, because somehow, and particularly those of you who are going out on vicarage, because the first thing you'll get dumped with is the youth program. And there seems to be some kind of feeling in our church that just because you are young, you can do the youth thing. And I don't think that works. My son, who is yet under the hump of 30 and therefore considers himself young, sort of dislikes youth work in the parish with a passion compared to other stuff. You know, at 29, he is well able to relate to Grandma and hold her hand and point her to the gospel and the love of God in Jesus Christ, seemingly with some more schmutz than he can with the 8th graders or the 12th graders. So just because you're young doesn't mean you can cut it with the youth. Present company accepted, I'm sure you will all be able to. But anyway, the last weekend in October is the All Concordia Ambassador bit at Synod's largest church, St. Peter's in Arlington Heights. And many of you will be able to send youth from your parish, either by way of one of our synodical schools or in other ways, to that or experiences like that. And they are around the country. Ongoing Ambassadors is still running off and seemingly doing well. I don't know if any of you were at Lutheran Youth Encounter here the first weekend in February or not. But there are all kinds of things. Our own youth organization is in the formative stages, and we're going to have a great big gathering next year. These kinds of things are likewise in the works and should help those who are in this big 90% area over here. And there's just one more into November. I'm going out to Westport, Connecticut to work with about 10 congregations for an in-reach, strengthening, growth kind of experience and presentation. Do you know, most of our Christian people cannot share the faith with each other. It is then really more, I think, than we have a right to expect, to suppose, that they can share it with others. We don't talk about our faith. We can talk about the church. We can talk maintenance. We can talk institution. We can talk survival. People have roast preacher for Sunday dinner, you know, or the parochial school teachers are really not doing their job, or the youth are all going to pot, or whatever. The roof is leaking, the parking lot is full of potholes, and we can talk a lot of church, and our people do. But I submit to you that many of them do not talk a lot of faith, a lot of Jesus Christ to each other. And I speak of this because I have gotten at this clinically. Actually, doing a few little surveys and keeping my eyes and ears to the ground and simply asking people what's going on. And I think if we have to be really honest with each other and with ourselves, we would have to recognize that there isn't a lot of witness, a lot of sharing of Jesus Christ. Now, you can crawl into a hole and say, we don't have to do that, and all that kind of thing. We've been saying that for a long time. But if that's the attitude we're going to take, then we can't really expect our people to go out there either. So an in-house kind of thing where people will not be threatened and will not go out on the street at all to make any calls or grab anybody by the lapel or take a cold turkey witness survey or anything of that nature, but just sit around in small groups, many of them with the scripture in their hand, with a kind of directed small group Bible study so that they can begin to speak the faith to each other. Now, the prayer would be that we'd be able to get a lot of these 90% type people to those non-threatening in-house sharing experiences. And we want to work that kind of thing up. Well, there you have a whole bunch of things, and I could just, you know, give you many, many more. I'll just throw one in that has absolutely nothing to do with any of these. In 1980, when you will be somewhere, maybe we'll all be in heaven, price of gas going up and the new peace treaty where, you know, God knows that may start off the biggest war you ever saw. We pray not, but if we're not here in 1980, let's be assured we'll be in heaven by the grace of God. But if you are around in 1980, in October, we in the Lutheran Church are going to have a Great Commission convocation where we are seeking to bring together about 6,000 people to share evangelism concerns and just rejoice in the Lord together. So, we've reached the end of the things that we can share, and I think for those of you who want to go, we should do that, and those of you who want to stay and ask some questions, we'll do that. If you want to come up and get a paper resource, you can do that. Otherwise, we're done, and my good friend Michael, the archangel, has appeared on the scene.
Good tidings. Let's close with a prayer. VZ, we thank you so much for just your ministry to us in lots of ways, too. Let's pray. Lord, today, as we have heard Pastor BZ share with us so many needs in our church, yet so many great opportunities, we pray, Lord, for sensitivity. We ask, Lord, that you would make us sensitive to our call to make disciples of other people. We ask that you would make us sensitive to your Spirit's leadership in our life and in the ministry that you give us. Pray that you would make us sensitive to other people and their needs to know Jesus as Savior. And then, Lord, make us sensitive to the Christians that you give us to minister to. Help us to realize that each one of them is at a different place, and give us understanding of how we can equip them for ministry of the great news of Jesus Christ. Lord, be with BZ and all that he does in his new job, and in everything that we do, Lord, may we do it in your name and to your glory. Amen. Thank you, BC.